Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. Every Wednesday, you will be updated on the latest market happenings with TFC Market Updates, hosted by Rakesh and Anthony, with some friends crashing from time to time. If you want to get this show and other investment-focused content on a separate curated feed, I will strongly recommend you follow our investing podcast, TFC Investors Network. All you need to do is search on your favorite podcast platform, TFC Investors Network, and be all geeky about investing only.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another episode of Weekly Market Updates, where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week is an atypical week, being the last week of 2022 after Christmas. Everyone's reflective, so we are reflecting as well, right? What we're going to be talking about is what happened in 2022, what are some learnings and key takeaways, any mindset shifts with regards to investments, and how to look forward to 2023 and what is the play. We are very much joined by Reggie this week, so three of us are going to be talking a lot of banter and a lot of gold nuggets for you. We hope you enjoy it, so let's get to it.
Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another episode of Weekly Market Updates with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony.
And me, Reggie. Hey, I'm in the house.
This time, no and Anthony. This time, why you got and Anthony?
It's not just about grammar, right? It's okay.
When was it ever about grammar, guys? When was it ever about grammar?
I know.
That's why. Come on. Picking the lawyer. This
Whoa. Wow, that was like a position one up. You're positioning yourself.
It's Christmas. It was Christmas.
Okay.
He's clearly on leave. Yeah, Grandma's clearly on leave.
Everything on leave. But yes. Glad to be back on with you guys. Yes.
Anyways, Reg. So happy.
Nice.
Awesome, man. And Reg, where are you joining us from?
I'm tuning in from my home studio in Subang, right? So shout out to my MP here, Wong Chen, right? So guy won the seat, essentially. I saw his banner everywhere. I was like, wow, amazing, crazy guy. But I will be coming back to Singapore in 2 days' time. So yeah, we'll see all of you in town, Chinese New Year and all that. So let's hang. Yes. Lovely.
Oh, awesome. Right. So you're back for New Year's and you're staying until the end of Chinese New Year.
Likely, because the travel schedule is horrible, you know, how many people realize that Singapore cannot function without Malaysians, huh? I don't know how many people realize that. You know, Singapore cannot function without Malaysians. In other words, Chinese New Year, right? A lot of the Chinese Malaysians have to go home, right? And the highway is going to be so jammed. It's going to be so bad. You know, I think Kenny the
flights are expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Kenny, the REIT guy, right? He was telling me, every year I spend 10,000 ringgit to fly my family of four back to Ipoh. Right. So I was like, wow, bro, not bad. You're doing well. He was like, hey, that is not the focus.
Not bad. That 10K ringgit quite cheap, but.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, he bought it relatively ahead already.
Yeah, I remember one year I bought my tickets back to Penang at 800 Sing. And this was on Silk Air. Scoot was $1,000. And it was pre-pandemic where there were a lot of flights. It was terrible.
It's horrible.
So
yeah.
It's just Chinese New Year.
Exactly. And because of that, very likely I will be staying in Singapore. You know, for the whole month of Jan, so we can hang, go hiking, whatever, you know. Oh, my bike is rubber already, bro. We cannot cycle. But anyway, Anthony will not join us one. Every time we chill him for outdoor thing, right? He'll be like, no, guys, do it your own, right? Makan and drink, he'll be like, okay.
I bought a seat for my toddler so she can sit on my shoulders and we can walk.
Let's do it.
So she will come and pull my hair like Ratatouille like that.
Okay. Approve. Done deal. We'll do that. Mary Chi. Yes.
Nice. Awesome. All right, coconuts, for today, I mean, hope you're loving the banter. I know I am. So that's always a good start. And for today, we have our usual... Okay, I'm just kidding. We don't have our usual three stories.
We don't.
Instead, we are very much going to do what every other podcast is doing, which is a year recap and looking at what's happening in 2023. We, of course, have got Reggie here to give his give us his insights. Really, actually, Reggie, coming from me, really love to hear how you feel 2022 has done, especially in the region of China.
I'm so boxed in now, right? Like when people hear me on the show, it's like, oh, must talk about China. You know, like Asian one. This guy, only care about Asia.
We have assigned you a niche.
Yeah, you have. I did ask for it, but I have been assigned a niche. I humbly accept that. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Nice. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We have Reggie and Anthony and of course myself in the house. So listen in and hopefully you can learn a thing or two. All right, folks. 2022. I think let's start off with a quick recap. We all have our notes in front of us. It's been a rough ride.
It's been a rough ride, yes.
I'm still in the Christmas spirit, man.
Yeah.
What notes? It's like
hey, Christmas over.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one line, right? 2022, terrible.
Horrible. Yeah, I mean, it's terrible across the board, right? If you think about it. Right, so tech is down. Mm. Crypto's down, China's down, even Singapore, okay, Singapore a little bit better, lah, you know, but...
Singapore's down.
Yeah, but...
The only up thing was like energy, you know, and if you were in energy in 2021, it was terrible for you also.
Yeah.
Over 2 years might not have been that good a trade.
Yeah, like why would you build up a position in energy, right, over the past few years, right? So it's like if you build up a position in energy...
Until this year.
Exactly. So it's crazy, right? And in the cute side story, I went for one of these networking event at one of the big brokers, right? So I don't need to drop name, but one of these bigger brokers out there who went for the networking event, and then the CEO came down and he was talking with us. The thing is, right, it was just like a bunch of us, like finfluencers, like, we just want to like hang out and talk shit, you know, like we had enough of talking about work, right? And then the CEO comes down and sits down and says, hey, what do you all think of the market? I was like, bro, you chose us to like hang out, right? Not like work, right? Like we enough already, right? You know, then he ended up talking about like how he built up a position in energy. I was like, huh? What the hell are you doing, right? But it's his best trade in a decade or something, right? So it is what it is, lah. Yeah. It is. Wow. So it is. I honestly don't think it's a genius move. I think it's a little bit of those like, you know, like you anchor in something for so long, right, that the shit turns into gold.
You're about to make money.
You know, so it's like a turnaround story that you didn't plan for, you know. So at least that was how I looked at it. But yeah, like what Anthony said, that was probably the only survivor. Right, Singapore is a little bit better in the sense that we are not losing as much. Doesn't mean we are making, right? So it's a relative game. At
relative
this point.
Outperformance.
Yeah, relative outperformance, guys. Relative, yes. Awesome. Woohoo.
He's all relative, folks. Yes. Ah, man, but I think a good to, you know, find out from you folks, right? What is your takeaway from 2022? Anthony, why don't you kick things off here? What is your takeaway from 2022 from this?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is don't FOMO, right? you look at 2020, 2021, and it was crazy time in the markets, right? But and then people start going, you know, never sell. People start going, oh yeah, you know, this will continue forever. And there's always this rational part going, are you sure? Are you kidding? Then it just continues on and on, and you go, hey, maybe they might be right. Mm. And then you FOMO in, and then that is when it comes down, right? So you can top tick it very easily. So I think one big thing is, you know, don't FOMO. That you need to kind of always have a baseline or have this way of thinking about how you want to enter, right? And stick to your strategy. So I think that's the big takeaway. And two is, you know, have conviction in what you do. So I think this to me was the slightly irritating lesson, because I was very convinced that, you know, Musk would lose and have to buy Twitter. And then I built my position, but I didn't go all in. I just, whatever, I have my position. I just built a standard position size. That's it. Mm. Right. And it was a good trade for the year. But at the end of the day, you know, I was very, very convinced. I just didn't put enough money behind it. And we'll wait for the next one.
Yeah, yeah. There will always be opportunities out there in the market. But hey, Anthony, I just want to ask you, like, so then how do you decide when to sell? Right, this is like the age-old question, right? Everybody talks about like when to buy. You know,
it's like, I think the question for next year is when to buy, right? It's no longer when to sell, because if you wanted to sell, you sold already. If you
fair point.
You haven't sold by now, you shouldn't sell.
You are deep in the trenches at this point in time.
I guess the answer to when to sell is when everybody says buy lah, then you sell.
This kind of advice, like, cannot, right? Like, what kind of advice? So, hey, I fail you. I was like, hey, today is like year-end review, right? I come on the show and then review.
Clearly.
I mean, this is entertainment, man. You've got advice, right?
Fair point. But I mean, we can go on and talk about like when to sell.
We can go and talk about it. I think a lot of it, I mean, fundamentally what that drives at is sentiment, right? Mm-hmm. When it gets too, you know, scary, then, hey, maybe it's time to look at buying. And you know, I think the way that the markets and sentiment has worked over the past few years has always been that, you know, it's just, like, the market overreacts, right? That's kind of like semi, you know, efficient market theory and all of that. It's a semi-efficient market, right? So, you know, there's always that range of valuation and the market overcorrects one way or the other, right? And that's where, you know, it's very trite to say, oh yeah, you know, when people say buy, you sell, when people say sell, you buy. But that is how you look at sentiment, right? It's overcorrecting in one way. You're betting on mean reversion and therefore, you know, you do the opposite. Does that give you a passing mark? Or do I need to go back to ChatGPT and like find a different answer for you?
Okay, this one I approve. This one I approve. Right. And I love how you use like semi-efficient, right? So because efficient market hypothesis has collapsed, right? Pretty much. So semi-efficient has some sort of a position.
Like purely efficient market, yeah. So I mean semi-efficient is just saying that some information. Information takes time to get reflected in the price, right? So, I think that's kind of true.
Fair. I mean, that position I can take. I can share your position on that. Yeah. Wait, I want to say something.
So, in other words, anti-FOMO, when people, if you FOMO to buy Tesla, you actually should be selling already.
Yeah. So now everyone. But it's also very odd, right? Because so now like Tesla dropped about 65-69%. And then all the retail is rushing to buy Tesla. Right? You open Twitter when it works. And then everybody is saying, oh, you know, Tesla's never been so cheap. It's like 2018 price, they have to buy again. And I'm like, wait, so if you go by sentiment, does it mean I should buy? Does it mean I should sell? It's a bit of a rubbish indicator. So, you know, that's why, again, entertainment, not advice. But, you know, I think sentiment does matter. Flows do matter. So it's time to, you know, keep a lookout on those types of indicators as well. It's not just about, this is a good company, I can just buy, confirm, make money.
Yeah. You know, but if you think about it, the interesting situation now is... on the ground, it feels like the sentiment is not very positive, right? Everybody is concerned. Everybody is afraid.
Yes.
So you hear a lot of like uncertainty of like, should I put my money into the market now and all that jazz, right? So there's that. There's that side of things. At the same time, the VIX is very low, you know, right? So the VIX index, right, fundamentally shows that the fear is not very high, right? Because it's a pseudo indicator on volatility, right? Yep. So in other words, that means the people that are positioned in the market already are already positioned and comfortably sitting there. People are not moving in and out, you know? Like it's like the positions are being built up.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are tuning in every week to market updates, I mean, if you tune in to other of our shows, right, then maybe you're not that kind of person. But if you tune in every week to market updates, right, then you are going to be trying to do like the whole retail investing, you know, you want to be a little bit smarter with your money in the markets, right? Then isn't now like a decently good time? Or at least that's how I look at it, right? So like, and in today's...
We need to save that for next question.
Next question. Next question. I too long never come on the show. Right, so don't know the show tempo.
Never read the notes.
Yeah, never read the notes. Horrible, ayyo. Right? I don't know my Notion doc. Right?
Ayyo.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at this point in time, I mean, that's my position. But yes. If you want to ask me how I look at 2022, right, I think one of the...
Yes, please.
One of the, of course, the biggest gameplay is between US and China, right, at this point in time. And 2022 pretty much smashed a lot of the people that say they will buy Baba to the end, right?
Have those people changed their minds?
No, la, bro. They're still there. They're still there. Because the algorithm requires them to be buying. There, okay?
Yeah, people
still Baba to the end, right? And then... that's a whole different specific story that we can go into, right? That's a different story. But you can see how a fundamental separation in incentive structure or a fundamental shift in the incentive structures of big organizations, right? Which if you want to classify a country as an organization, yeah, they are big organizations, would spiral things down in a very exponential way, right? It's going to be very quick, you know, and it kind of compounds down way, you know? So I think that's one of my biggest learnings for this time. And you can actually apply it into many other, you know, like organizations or like sectorial ideas, right? Once incentive structures separate, you know, how like Intel and Apple incentive structure just break, right? Because Apple now built their own chips. They don't need Intel anymore. The whole thing breaks up. And then you see how Intel's business just spiral down even worse, right? And then Apple goes on this whole like whole other shift in their business, right? So I think that's something that I thought about. It's like, yeah, I mean, China and US is just a very vivid experience of like how when incentive structures break, everything is off the table, right? And things can just spiral down a much different path. And you can take this idea to be applied into many other businesses and different sectors. I feel that's something that we can think about.
Come, let me give you a very chim word for that called reflexivity.
Reflexivity. Hey, he's trying to make up for his grammar failure in the opening of the podcast, okay?
Yeah. My grammar is not good, my vocab is good.
Okay, vocab good. Need to lawyer, vocab good, no problem. Right.
Grammar got word document, then they will autocorrect.
Yeah.
My spelling also not good, but also got squiggly lines.
Yeah. Exactly. My spelling is so horrible, right? But everything got Grammarly, right? Support me. You know, but big words aside, I mean, that is a collective term, right? Essentially, if you understand, the more important idea is to understand the ideas behind it, right? And when you start to realize that there are fundamental incentives that are at play between different organizations, between different companies, why do they do it together? There's a certain incentive. And then once that thing breaks, everything is off the table, right? And I feel like why I want to put it up, because when these things were happening, when these things were being unshackled, right, you hear a lot of voices out there saying, oh, this temporary, you know, this for a while only, you know, like this thing will tie through, you know, blah, 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 right? And you can apply that in many other businesses, right? It's not just the US-China situation. But it has come to show that once you recognize this thing, that the incentives has broken, then the everything changes, right? And you shouldn't rely on your earlier thesis and your earlier anchors to evaluate this situation anymore.
And I guess, you know, this is again why we like to go back to, but I mean, it's not so much fundamentals, but it's like, you know, thesis or first principles, right? It's okay, this is why I believe this company will do well because of ABC. Yeah. Right? It's really just that the principles of how they run their business and all of that, and even ignoring the numbers. And, you know, if one of those things fundamentally change. So, for example, if, you know, even with Uber raising prices, they can never make each delivery profitable, then your thesis about, oh, you know, they have the biggest TAM, they will have positive margins in the end because they're kind of like software, that doesn't work anymore, right? So, you know,
everything is a software, bro. Everything is a software. Everything is a software today.
Everything is a software. It's not even software, right? It's like software as a service.
Then you can have
like property as a service, which is WeWork and all that. But rental, lah. But I mean, you kind of get the point, right? And that's why, you know, earnings are important, earnings calls are important, because they give you that story, and you know, you can see whether the story of management matches up with your thesis and what you think the story of the stock should be. Right. I think the difficulty there is always, well, you know, they have had a bad quarter this time, so maybe the story breaks, but do we give them another chance, right? Because, I mean, one-offs do happen, you know. Is it really a complete shift in the trend, or is it just a blip, right? And I think that is where the difficulties lie.
No, and doubling down on that, right? Actually,
yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah,
as well.
And doubling down on that, I think what is important is also to ask yourself, like, why are you even considering this business, right? So if you're considering this business as a turnaround, right? I think a few years ago when I first started, there was Valiant Pharmaceuticals, right? So that was a whole saga there, and then they were doing a turnaround story, right? So when they do the turnaround story, they needed to extend their bonds, you know, or at least have some sort of liquidity to so that they continue to float. Meanwhile, sell down, fire sale on some assets, turn around, rebrand, and increase, you know, their stuff, right? So when you look at that as a company, and if you decide to participate in it, right, then your frame of measurement and your psyche is different, you know, as compared to if you are investing in like a growth company that has a growth story, it is growing, woo, 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 you know. So how do you then measure really depends on like, like where are you in that?
Absolutely. And I think piggybacking on that, that would be my 2022 as well, right? Like looking back at it, there was a lot of, I would say like, I mean, to use, this word has been used quite a lot. It's called normalization. Right, because if you look at it in 2021 or 2020, right, I was shocked. Like all of these stocks were overvalued. I felt right. I mean, let's look at tech for example.
Amplitude.
Everything that. Hey, quiet.
Right. Everything in tech at this everything in tech at this point in time is non-GAAP. Right. It's like all non-GAAP measure. Right.
Yeah.
So.
But the sentiment that were coming through back when, you know, COVID was hitting and all of those things was shocking even to me, right? Being in the tech hemisphere and so on, I was like, I cannot believe this is the prices. And then we decided to go on value and the flow and all of these things that you guys were talking about. And I think what, for me, 2022 was that mindset shift among these investors that really, really took place quite drastically. I think it started in 2021 and end of 2021, to be honest, right? I think Q4 earnings, right? And then it just spiraled down for 2022. And for me, that would be a talking point, right? Is that going to be the mindset moving forward, right? For this industry? Is that the mindset that's going to be like that across? This is how we make different decisions now, investing decisions, because we got to put that into perspective when we're looking at 2023.
No, I think the tech hype was crazy lah. You know, everything is tech, everything is growth, you know, like I remember one of my friends was saying, "Oh yeah, you know, 2021 you buy any random thing also two times or like 80%, you know."
you touch gold literally, anything
like also rando, like, "Oh, it just happened," right? But you never sell, and then now you're like deep in the trenches minus 40. You know, or something, right? So I think this is as with many other sectors, like you will see this cycle happen again and again. There was a period of time it was like green energy, and then there was marijuana. You know, there's this is never ending one. The longer you are in this thing, like you do this long enough, you will see multiple of these cycles again and again and again, right? And as much as I put it out here today talking about these things, I think you can try. Sometimes you never know. Some of these things are like moonshot, right? It's not like you cannot buy growth companies or cannot buy like weird companies. To me, right, okay, I've come to a new position on like what is considered tech, okay? Anything that is put in the tech bubble just means the investment community don't know how to evaluate this thing. Because the business model is unsure, things are not clear yet, you know, they don't usually take a lot of loans because they are horrible, you know, in their current position to take corporate debt.
They take equity financing because they will be like
10-15%, right? How do you grow a company at 10-15%, you know, on interest, right? Yeah. So they will take equity financing, they will sell you a dream, their business model not very clear, break things and go first. Right, and this thing is a consistent observation across the board, right? Even the early days of like Microsoft, some microsystems, Adobe, you know, all these guys, right? Time before they are put into a bracket of like enterprise software or like, you know, like social media or like green tech, you know, or like, you know, electric cars, right? They were all considered tech. Right. So nowadays, when I look at tech companies, a few caveats. Right? One is the business community and the investment community is unsure how to evaluate these things. There's no clear business model at this point in time. They saw moonshot idea for the future. The other thing is to then recognize that the growth story needs to be very intact, because any time when the growth story weavers or meanders, right, it's going to be soaked down like crazy, because you know all the question marks then come out, right? And once the business starts to be clear, right, so once you start to see the model start to settle in and you know people start to come in and know like, oh, this is how it is, right, then there will be a shift from the growth story to the value story, and then comparison will start to come in, and then all the PE ratios will start to matter.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, so there is a natural trajectory to some of these things. And these days, when I look at tech, it's like that. Right? So anything that people talk about tech, it's like, okay, that means you're not sure, right? How is this thing going to work? Right? And it's okay. And it's okay. And it's okay to be not sure.
Tech.
Yeah. And it's okay. To be that.
So effectively, it shouldn't be called tech. It should be called speculation.
No. Speculation is an activity. It's okay.
Yeah, no, as it is speculative tech, because you don't know whether it works out. Right?
Yeah.
So it's speculative in that sense. But I think, you know, where this ultimately gets to, and this is fine, right? And it's fair to, and to me, it's fair to buy these companies because you are taking on more risk. Yes. But the rewards are greater.
You're
not buying Amazon now. You're buying Amazon, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
To use everybody's favorite company, right? You're not, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon, so, so Microsoft, that, really all those, same. Yes. No, and I do agree with you, Anthony. The thing is, I don't disagree with that. You know, it's just about pointing out the kind of optics, right? To give our listeners some frame of thought to think about this thing. To recognize that when you buy into a growth story, or when you're buying into a value stock, or you're buying a turnaround story, they're all different, right? And when you look at them differently, then you have to measure them in a different way, right? And some will argue that you might want to focus on a few styles first, right? If you're going to do it on your own, you want to harness your ability in one or two ways of investing first, then you can kind of open up into other ways, right? Because they're all different, right? And you know, piggybacking back on like Rakesh's concern about tech, right? And the reality is as such, right? A lot of tech business models are unclear, right? And it's okay to be unclear as long as you buy into the story. There are some fundamental measurements, and most of the investors will harp on a few fundamental measurements, right? Whether is it like DAU, MAU, TAM, churn rate, you know, some of these like basic things that people would look at, you know, to try to evaluate the business, or like ARPU, whatever. And then it's a little bit of a, okay, how do you paint a story in your head, right? Is this going to work? What's happening? What are some things to look out for? Can they continue to get financing to ride up high? Are they able to sell the equity at a premium? Which is why growth stocks are all dead now, because they can't sell at a premium. They cannot go on a down round, right? The bot will kill them, right? So it's a situation at this point in time, lah. Right. Yeah, no, that's some of my thoughts in tech.
No, I think that's completely fair, and that's I think what I'm alluding to as well. I think the other point here is what's next, right? As we move along in as we did 2022 now, what's 2023 going to be like for you guys? Right? How are you planning
GST
it out?
Hype, because terrible.
I mean, listening to the
8% first, 1% increase.
January.
Hey, I didn't realize 1% was so much until I started like planning my purchases and going, maybe I should buy it next week. This week instead of next week.
Yeah. If you want to avoid inflation, either you don't buy or you buy like, you know, buy now and stock up, right? In other words.
I need to pay for my Chinese New Year dinner.
Or go Jewel and buy Jewel Changi Airport. They absorb.
Say, Are you?
Well, thanks. Thanks for the invite,
contributing,
Anthony.
Are you contributing to like our team dinner? Yeah. Nice.
You can't eat abalone at MacRitchie, awesome, guys. Come on. You want to take up Bestie and cook, is it?
Upper Thompson, our new studio, bro.
No problem. All right, guys, coming back to 2023 and not about the 8% GSDI. Although that is one, I will say, is a matter. It's there's a lot of you know, and you mentioned there's not a lot of fear in the market, or there's an index you call
VIX.
It. VIX index that you called it. But people are still wondering when they should be investing, right? When is a good time? What should they be doing? There's a lot, literally all these questions that even our listeners, our coconuts, are asking on the floor. Now, being an entertainment podcast, this is not financial advice. I will say this one more time.
Like, take the position of edutainment. Like, you know, like we educate and entertain, right? Like we're not just like pure joke, okay. Right? Like, hey, you know, we're not fighting CNA or something. sorry.
I think we give valuable insights, but we just joke about it so people don't take us seriously. If we don't joke about it, then it's a bit too boring. So
it's
something to think about for next year.
It's true. I love it. Trust me. Like when I work with some of the analysts, right, I said, oh my god, you guys are better the same talking points again and again and again, and they're not funny some more, right? Like, come on, guys. Okay, but anyway, different story. So for me, right, I think 2023 it's going to be quite a hard year. Like, at least I will echo the position of what a lot of people have said, in a sense of, you know, likely the recession is going to likely my view is, recession is already probably kind of here and around the door, right? Because I've already had a lot of friends who kind of lost their jobs, you know, and like trying to start new ventures and all that, right? A lot of the meta guys, right, they have like 3 months severance package, right? So it's not that bad. It buys them some time to kind of build other things, right? So a lot of the tech guys are very jialat, send you very jialat, but the severance package are quite decent. So they have some time to kind of build certain things out there, you know. But that is the reality, right? And there's exponential effect in those things, right? So chances are the real economy is going to get some impact. I don't know how bad it's going to be. But it's, in my view, it's going to have some impact, but may not be as crazy as how some of the analysts are talking about it, but the financial markets likely will move parallel for a while, at least in my worldview, right? So that's, because to me it's like
recession where, right?
Recession in the real economy, I think that's kind of where.
Yeah, but in Singapore or the US, because I mean we kind of follow, but not exactly.
Yeah. Right? So I think the US definitely is gonna face some serious recession. Soft landing is like they keep saying, but you know, like we all know the data does not fundamentally suggest a soft landing, right? Singapore has a very different, or at least the probability of a soft landing relative to how many times they tried to do a soft landing, is not very in their favor, right? Because they do more laissez-faire, right? Let the market play it, you know, they don't really come in to intervene on the softness of it, right? So I think the US will be very hard. Okay. As for like Singapore has been like very well established that we intervene in the market, right? And it's not a bad thing. Huh? I'm not taking the position that it's bad, you know, let the market be itself. No, okay. I'm quite the opposite, right? You can say I'm a Keynesian, more socialistic side of kind of person, right? So when I look at how the Singapore government manages these things, it will not be as crazy, right? So in terms of soft landing or in terms of like the real recession in Singapore, a lot of Singaporeans will not feel it. Will be relatively cushioned from this thing. Okay, or at least that's my view. You will feel like maybe don't spend so much, but not because you have lost serious income, but because everybody feels like that. So you're very scared. You don't dare to do it. Yeah. You know?
And because GST just makes everything expensive.
So horrible. Yeah. So
you cannot buy watches anymore. Yeah.
Control yourself. Okay. But I think that's the situation. Yeah. Of course, with some of the other Asian markets, there's more market intervention whether it's China, whether it's Vietnam, you know, some of these other places. Japan is interesting. Japan actually has a very strong union structure, you know, but that's a different discussion altogether, right? So at least in the Asian markets, fundamentally, I think it will be relatively well okay. It's not going to be like woohoo exciting, but it's not going to be like too trashy in a recession kind of situation. The exports out of this region is still very intact and very well done, right? So overall, I think the region will be okay, but it will not be as exciting as the past few years, lah. Right? It's gonna be quite bad. In that sense, it's relative, relative. Yes.
It's okay. Maybe after the past year, you know, some boringness is good, right?
Yeah.
Take your 6%, 7%
yield. Yes. Hey, you know, recently I hop on a few calls and then I said, how are you doing? He said, okay. Then I was like, okay, it's very good, lah. You know, like, okay. Okay, yeah, it's very chill, lah, relax, right? So, and then the thing is, like what Anthony is talking about, right? How does that then translate into the financial economy, right? Then that is... That's the question, right? That honestly I'm not very clear of, lah, right? Because I think the financial economy at this point in time is already quite bottom, you know, in some of the markets, you know, quite, I don't know if I can say this now, it's like, can I cancel, right? But it's quite bottom already. Will it go down further? Maybe there's a chance, but what is the probability? I'm not too sure, right? So capital has already allocated, which is why the VIX is relatively low in my view. Capital has allocated already into some of these bigger positions. What can you do going forward? This is the discussion.
Anthony, what are we thinking?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot, right? So one is, you know, sentiment and VIX. I mean, at the end of the day, VIX is, it's a volatility index, but it itself is super volatile, right? It's really more a short-term sentiment indicator.
Yes.
So, you know, what all it is okay, yeah, people feel relatively comfortable now. It's not a measure of how they think, you know, it will do. I mean, it's a proxy for maybe
it's a proxy.
They'll do in a year or 3 years or 5 years, right? But at the end of the day, it's not really determinative of anything, you know, except for immediate current sentiment. So I think that's one, you know. And two, I think there's the coming year is very interesting, right? Just because it's so uncertain. It's like, you know, the entire year 2022, we have just been talking about macro, which is terribly boring. But you know, going back to that macro topic, we talked about was inflation. Right? So it's not only just macro, it's inflation. You know, then there will still be a bit of a continuation of that. Did we finally break inflation? Nobody knows, right? When will we go back to 2-3% in the US? Nobody knows. Probably not next. Probably not 2023.
Will we?
Maybe 2024, 2025. Nobody knows, right? And then after that, okay, so fine. The Fed will keep rates high. Then is there really going to be a recession? How deep is the recession in the US, right? And how that impacts the markets. I think these are really the big questions. So 2023 really, in the US at least, seems to be a very macro-driven environment as well, right? So, and in that kind of environment, you know, what you do, well, you know what happened this year, like, you know. So it's not necessarily down all the way, right? But you have a lot of volatility, you know, your speculative tech will probably suffer quite a bit because it'll whipsaw quite a bit, right? It'll go up and down, like earnings, it'll go down 30%, next earnings, it goes up 30%, that kind of stuff, right? So that's going to be a fun type of market to play if you don't really want to hold for very long, right? And emerging markets will be great, like Singapore, Indonesia, you know, places which are relatively stable, which don't really lose that much in terms of currency because they have strong exports. All these will do well, right? And it might not even just be relative outperformance compared to the US, right? It's just because, you know, I think that there's two things for it. One is, you know, these, like, especially Southeast Asia, we tend to be relatively defensive sectors, right? But we are also relatively underallocated. So if you look at the defensive sectors in the US, they are super overallocated already, right? I think Costco is like, at a really, really high PE.
40
you know,
something.
Your utilities,
you know,
are
all there.
Nike is at like 33 PE for like 8% revenue growth. Like, what? Yeah. It doesn't make sense, right?
So doesn't make sense at all.
So I think a nice sweet spot is really our region, right? Where you can get outperformance because we are still defensive. We have lots of property. We have lots of commodities, which will be needed and which will do well. And at the end of the day, you know, We are under allocated. So if money flows out of the US, guess where it goes, right? It comes to Asia. And it comes to the developing jurisdiction. So that's great. So yes, maybe the play for the next year will be Sorry, the play for the short term for the next year will be Singapore.
Yeah. No, and the interesting part is, I think at this point in time, the price to book ratio for the REIT market is still quite low, right? It's like, yeah, it's like 0.8%,
they all drop,
right?
Like,
so they all
10-15%.
Yeah. So 0.8. I think the PB is still 0.8. That means for all of you that are tuning in, that you don't know what is it, then
what terrible REIT have you been looking at to have 0.8?
No, as in the price to book. Right, so I think,
which terrible REIT is this that has like less than one price to book?
No, it's across the board, bro. Across the board. If you average them out, the whole sector. Right, so if you average the whole sector out at this point in time, I think the last I checked, like, which was about 2 months ago, right? But it doesn't look like the market has shifted much over the past 2 months. The last I checked, the overall REIT market in Singapore, price to book, that means the whole market cap of the REITs, you know, divided by the market value, that means the price of the property that you sell out. If all the properties are sold today, right, it's a 0.8 differential, you know. It's a 0.8 price to book, right? In other words, you're getting a 20% discount on the hard properties, you know, in that sense, lah. Right? So, but of course...
Why is our REIT index so filled with such terrible REIT?
You know, so...
Because that's the reality, right? You know, at the end of the day, even someone like Escort, you know, at the height of the pandemic, didn't trade for less than one price to book. So, you know, and whereas if you have things like, now I think, Keppel Peck, Pacific Oak REIT or something that are seen as, they are the higher yielding REITs, which trade at less than price to book because people don't like the properties that they have, right? So I think, you know, yes, it's cheap and it's less than price to book, but, you know, it again goes back to the argument of value stocks, right? Some people are cheap because for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just overcorrection.
Yeah. No, but if you own the entire sector, then that's a different discussion altogether, right? But I get what you're saying about it, lah. So in terms of defensive, I think the Singapore market has that ability. And the Singapore, I mean, you can hate the government, you can like score them for GST and all that, right? But the Forex facility to control the Singapore dollar across the board, right, is quite healthy.
Absolutely.
Right, it's quite healthy. They have done a decent job because we got a lot of foreign reserves, right? So as long as you manage that whole shit well, there's a lot of defensive power in owning the Sing dollar, right? Which is why they're going to tax you more on property tax so that all these rich guys will park here and then you can kind of like, you know, defend against the volatile space. But that's a different discussion. I think that's the idea. But if you want to talk about like 2023 and beyond, right? 2023 and beyond. So not just like 2023. At this point in time, there are some very good things to explore in the tech space, right? Because it's sold down. You know, there are a lot of like big tech companies or at least like mid-sized tech companies that are very viable in the business model that they have created. You know, and they are not like burning cash, you know, just to survive.
You know that you have to give names after this, right?
So,
I'm just about to ask that. But before that, right, Reggie, based on your definition of what tech is, this is no longer tech, right? What would you call this sort of?
Some of them have kind of graduated, right? If you think about it, something like a Shopify, they have graduated, you know, out of the like tech, right? Because now you very clearly know their business model, right? How is it going to work? You know, you sign up, they have a whole suite of products, you know, it's a SaaS, you buy up and then they sell you value add service, they increase their ARPU, right? So that is the broad idea around Shopify as a business, right? So that is that. You know, of course, there are some things that are a little bit like younger. They are not very sure, like something like a Cloudflare, you know, or like a Snowflake. You'll be like, okay, I get it. You're trying to like, I understand what you're trying to do, but is it really going to work? You're not too sure, right? So you're kind of on the fence. But are they best in class in the space? Yes, they are best in class in their space. Okay, so they're best in class in their space. And are they like cash burning to survive? They're not. They're cash burning to grow. Right, and I think that's a very important thing to think about, right? And the metric is important, right? Because every time we look at FCF, right, free cash flow, or we look at whether are they earnings positive and all that, right? But you don't realize that these things is a jumbo, right? It's like mix all sorts of things inside, you know. But when you can actually break it down to ask yourself, okay, in this like $1 billion that they spend to function the company, how much of it is operational, right? Like maybe 500 million is operational. Okay, that means as long as they can make 500 million, this thing can continue to run for a while. And if they are the dominant player out there in the market, they can scoop up the other guys, right? And they can ride through a hard time. You know, and the other things will be like initiative law, so they no longer sponsor NFL, you know, they don't do big marketing campaign, all those things like then you cut, and say, hey, okay, well, this company can survive. And this is an important measure, right? Something like a C Limited, you know, some of these guys, they cut, can they continue to survive, right? They do all these austerity measures to themselves. Can they regroup, come to a cash flow positive position and ride it out such that, you know, they can stay around, they continue to be sticky to the customers, they provide value, and eventually they can ride the upside, right? And I think these are the guys that in the tech space you can explore, right? So on top of being defensive, whether the Singapore markets, you know, REIT market, and just be glad, all of you tuning in, you hosting dollar, right? Like my friends were in Australia, they don't want to allow my Australia property price go up, but my AUD like shit now, right? So right, so it's you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm happy, man.
We can talk about it, right? Right. Like, but that's the idea, right? So, as much as you want to do some defensive play, Singapore is a decent place to do that. We appreciate that. But if you really want to be more opportunistic and, like, I mean, some would call it anti-cyclical, right? Like, don't follow the market cycles. Then yeah, some of these like more interesting next gen play. Will be a good space to go. Like, I can't speak for like crypto but I think some of the software tech, I think.
Maybe next time we bring the BlockWorks guys on also.
Yeah. Hey, we should get the BlockHead guys. We should get the BlockHead guys to come on and talk. So that is the situation. That's my position.
Fair, man. I think 2023 for me is very much a question mark. I mean, coming personally as well. How is it going to be? What do I go into? I've not been a very, I would say my safe bets, I need to have some. Let's put it that way. Right? I'm sure there are coconuts out there.
I just need to wait for the market to turn.
Yeah.
This is generational.
I'm sure, I'm not the only one out here with coconuts. I'm sure one of you out there will be like, you know what? I'm like Rakesh, look, I've no safe bets on. Or risky. That's me.
Why are you not in crypto?
Degenerate. Did you just
call I lost money in crypto already. Degenerate.
Wait, do you go in the hype of everything?
Which one? No, it's bloody Gemini Earn, bro.
Oh, you're in Gemini Earn.
Wow.
Wow. That one, it too stress, right? Stress. That one cannot.
Stress. We just got an email from them.
Don't read emails. I mean, you just take it as you write it off already. And relax, right?
I mean,
you must learn this one line from, who's that guy? From the Fantastic Beasts. What's that? The main actor's, what's his name? Newtman, right? Newt Scamander. Newt Scamander, right? He was saying, I choose not to worry because worry means I this problem kind of, I care about this problem twice, right? So this problem affects me twice, right? So just write it off, right? Learn from Temasek, right? Write off, never mind, okay. Let's write off and then we move on with our lives.
My loss not as big as the Temasek.
Cancel yourself, okay?
Don't get cancelled. Don't get cancelled.
No, we want to clinch the Temasek PR project, right?
We can talk about PAP and GST, right? We cannot talk about the Temasek.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know we are out. Right? But yeah, the idea is if you are involved in this program, FTX, Gemini, Earn, really just like, you know, just wake up, lah. Right. Just write it off. Wake up. Move on. If it comes back, great. Good on you. You feel happier, right? But if it doesn't, right? Bonus. If not, you regroup, get yourself together in a better capital position, and then you reallocate, lah. We learn as we go along, you know. But don't too stress about it, lah. I mean, the reality is there. Nothing is gonna come back. Sorry.
No, I completely agree. I completely agree. I think the whole point here is if you write it off, rebalance your portfolio, look at what you want to do. And like I said, right, safe bets. And I would say that would be a 2023 motto for me. And I'm sure there are some listeners and coconuts out there that are probably thinking about
it. We'll track you on this, lab, bro. Right. I don't want every month.
We stop talking.
Every week I see.
Every month.
Yeah. Every week, I see like, wow, like the back end tells me tech. I was like, what the hell is going on, man? Like, you guys only do tech. Right, that's why I had to come in on the last episode today, right? To talk a little
bit. It grabs the headlines, right? I mean, you know.
That's the problem, right?
I would love to talk about REITs, but nobody wants to listen.
Exactly. And to be clear, Anthony, really, that's the problem with algorithms, right? It's like you talk about tech, people come in, and I'm speaking to our consistent listeners, right? That come in every week, right? That you're not coming in because of like this particular tech company that we're going to talk about or this like big headline. You come in because you trust us. Every week we cover something that matters to us. We care about it. So we want to share with you about it. And I think that is a core audience that we really want to work with, right? And those people are the people that will care about the other things that you care about, lor. Right? So as much as we cannot care about the algorithm. Next year we pivot. We must have new products, right? That focus on the audience.
Next year
right?
we pivoted into macro. Next year we pivot into Asia.
Asia. We're the home of the Asia investor. I think that's the brand, right? That's the brand, right? So we will go there. But yeah, so yeah, lah. If you are a regular listener, I'm speaking to you that, you know, do come in, right? Don't pick and choose like which episode you want to come in, you know, because it's about the regularity. And when you can regularly come in, it allows us to then talk about things that don't grab headlines, but actually matters as an investor.
Exactly. Amen to that.
Did you just amen to that? Okay, coconut, cheers. Thanksgiving. Woohoo, love Sarang Hay.
Christmas just passed.
Now the Chinese New Year song is very scary. Dong 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 chang. Every mall is dong 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 chang. I'm very afraid of it. I was like, oh my goodness, pentatonic scale for one whole month. Oh my god, cannot. But yes.
Coconuts listening, you know, if you want to know more about the Asia market or want us to do more about the Asia market or safe bets, right, for next year, please let us know. More than happy to. If you want to come and tell us about the safe bets you've been having as well, I mean, I'm sure we would love to listen to that. I know I would, just to see how your 2022 has been or how you're planning on your 2023, if you're okay to share that.
Bro, I think 2022, even safe bet is like not doing well. it's like relative loss, you know, better. Doesn't mean like, relative outperformance. Like, Singapore outperforming, like -4. So okay, relative outperformance.
-4 better than -40.
Lose, but don't lose so much.
It's true. I don't discount that. But it's just optics, right? And anyway, can I do a plug? Yeah, so
Reggie's plug time.
So I'll be speaking at the FS71 event. So the IFAS Investment Expo on the 7th of January. Right, so you can check out FSM1's Instagram page for the details and all that. Right, so I'll just be doing a 20-minute segment to talk about like mindsets and what are the like practical strategies to go against some of these investor fallacy that you have. So please come, say hi, and you know, I think I'll be speaking at like 1 p.m. or something. Right, so just come and we can talk more about it. And I'll be doing street interviews at the expo, right? Just for the fun of it. Okay, they never pay me to do street interview. They pay me to speak. Okay. But I'm just going to do the street interview. So if I ask you questions like, what is your best bet for the year? You know, what is your worst bet for the year? Do you buy Tesla? All these things. Please give me some like interesting answer and you'll be on our TikTok page, right? So I think that's the idea. Yes. Doing street interviews. See you guys at the FSM1 Investment Expo, 7th of January.
Awesome. I would like to be there. So can I get a ticket?
Yeah,
do
it's
we get
free
tickets?
Free,
oh, it's all free, is it?
It's free. Right. It's free. The whole event is free.
Oh,
yes,
it's free.
Yes.
Okay.
Please
okay.
come. Yes, perfect. Then I can interview you. Yeah. What's your best bet for the year?
Like, joining TFC. Yeah.
Bet on Reg. Exactly. That was what I was about to say. Bet on Reggie. That's the best bet for the year. Yes. 2023 will be better, right? We will improve, right? See you all. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. My Singapore portfolio awesome. Is up. Hooray. Well, sorry, I just went to check because I just never looked at it.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great sign that you're a long-term investor, bro. Yes, I love it.
Awesome, Coconuts. Thank you for tuning in to our last one of 2022. We hope you enjoyed this year and we really can't wait to tell you and bring you more next year with TFC Market Updates and with the TFC Group. So from us, all of us here, much love and have a great holidays.
Right, for another long weekend.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah,
long weekend. Woo-hoo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback, so share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks, and stay safe.